doing a special class of Medrash on the Parsha. At the end of the Parsha, the Torah describes the mitzvah of taking the four species on Sukkot, Lulav, Etrog, Hadassim, Aravot. So the Torah says, Ulkachtem lachem, you will take for yourselves. And so Chazal understood, Ulkachtem, you will take, well, you will take in honesty. Tani Rabbi Chia taught in a Tanaic quote, the word ulekachtem indicates the mekach, take it in an honest business dealing, pay for it, barter for it, velo begezel, but don't steal it. But I need it for a mitzvah. No. Torah said, ulekachtem, take it honestly. Lachem, the Torah says, for you in the plural sense, lekol echad ve'echad mikem, each of you should take their own lulav, if possible. Lachem, Torah says, take yours, mishelachem, pick it in your yard, v'lo gazul, and don't steal it from your neighbor's yard. Amar Rabbi Levi taught, mishelokech lulav gazul, if someone takes a stolen lulav, lemad aval domeh, what is this similar to? Lelistim sheyoshev beparshat rachim, there was a gangster who sat at a crossroads. He's waiting for passers-by to come to the crossroads. And anyone that tries to pass by, he pounces on them and robs them. Chadzman, abar alav chad ligyon, lemeikvei demusia dahu medinta. One time, there was a battalion that came by, and they were going to collect taxes from a certain city. That's why the battalion was sent. Kam kadmei vekapchei v'nasav kol madave biyadei. So he stood in their way, and they took everything he had. Everything he had stolen, they took from him. Batal yomin itzta'idu lista v'itchabesh bepilkei. One time, after a period, that robber was caught and he was held in captivity. Shama hahu. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. The robber was able to pounce on the king's messengers and steal from them. So the robber had taken from them everything they had. Now the robber got caught. So again, this robber would steal from everyone, and now the king had his troops go to collect taxes. So as his servants are going, the robber pounces on them and steals from them too. Then one day the robber got thrown into prison. So the king's men went to the prison and they said to him, Havli made kapachtani, v'ana mele farach schuk adam alka. You give me back what you stole from me, the king's men said, and I will go to the king and say good things about you that he should release you. He says, you want me to pay you off? He says, the only thing I have here is this beautiful cloth which I stole from you. I can give you back what I stole from you, but I that's all I have. Amale Haviatali Vana Melef Alaich Schukadam Malka. He said, give me that cloth and I'll go and tell the king a good thing about you. Amale Nasve. So he said, here, take the cloth. Amale. So the king's man said to him, Teve Yadada Talile Machal Kadam Malka Ledina. You should know tomorrow the king is going to bring you forth to judge you. Ve'ushail ve'amar la'achit lach banash malif alayich schu ve'atamar le'it. The king is going to ask you, is there anyone that could say a good thing about you? You should tell the king, yes, there's someone who could say good about me. There is ligyon palach malif alayich schu. That such and such a battalion could say good things about me. And then the king will summon me. And then I'll come in and I'll say nice things about you. The next day they bring the gangster in to be judged before the king. So the king asked him, is there anyone that could say anything good about you? He said, yeah, such and such a battalion can say nice things about me. So the king summons that battalion. Do you know anything nice to say about this person? He says, yeah, I could say nice things about him. Do you remember when you sent me to collect taxes from such and such a city? He stood up and he pounced on our battalion. And he took everything we had. He stunned us all with it, and he stole everything from us. V'adein tefita de'umin didi mashi dilui. And you know what? Here's the one kerchief I have. It's testimony that he stole from me, because here he gave. I got it back from him. So this is proof that he's a thief, that he stole from me.
What do the people standing there say? Oh boy, this thief thought he'd call that battalion and they'd help him. Look, they turned against him.
So that says the Medrash, a person takes a lulav and he wants that lulav should be a mitzvah in his merit. And if that lulav was stolen, so then that lulav, when the time comes and a person is being judged, the lulav says, "Gazulani, chamusani, I am stolen property." And the angels in heaven say, "Woe to this person that the thing that should have protected him became his prosecutor." Yeah. Now, the Medrash is telling us a concept that we sometimes overlook. A person can come to Daven in the morning. They ask the Rebbe of Boston, what intentions should you have as you put on your talis? So the Rebbe of Boston said you should be very intent to make sure that as you put on the talis with all the fervor, you don't smack the guy next to you with the tzitzit strings. There's intent. Sometimes a person can be very, very focused on being spiritual, and it's at the expense of the people around him. And then the same thing which should have been his defense attorney, the same thing which should have been his mitzvah, becomes his prosecutor, becomes the claim against him. So Chazal tell us from the story of Lulav, we learn about all the mitzvot. Yeah, this is true about every mitzvah. A person has to be honest. A person has to be honest. And if a person thinks that they can accomplish a mitzvah at the expense of other things, then sometimes the mitzvah is no longer a mitzvah. It says, Botzea berech nietz Hashem. If a person stole and then makes a bracha over that apple, but he stole it from someone's yard, so that's a curse. You can't make a blessing over that apple. So a guy went to the store and he took an apple and he didn't pay for it. So you think it's not a big deal, but what about the people who take extra bags at the checkout counter? Now they can't do that anymore, right? But there are all kinds of games that people play, and people go to a hotel room and they think they can walk off with the towels from the hotel room. No one meant for you to take those towels. People go to a hotel and they take the hangers from the hotel room. Who allowed them to take the hangers from the hotel room? If you'd ask the hotel owner, they wouldn't let you. That's thievery. The fact that we choose to ignore it doesn't mean it's not thievery. People go to a breakfast that the hotel gives them, and they bring in a lot of friends and they give them from the breakfast. That's not what the hotel intended. A person has to know that that's thievery. I can't say it's not a big deal. I was once someone's guest for a bar mitzvah up in the Golan. They had a Shabbos bar mitzvah. And it must have been the summer months, so everyone stayed overnight till the next morning. At the morning, when we were making breakfast, the hotel gave a breakfast for everyone.
So they announced everyone should make sandwiches to take with them for lunch until we get back to Jerusalem. So then one of the guests saw that I wasn't making sandwiches for me and my family. So he said, "Why aren't you making sandwiches?" I said, "There's a sign there that says no making sandwiches." There's a sign there that says the guests are only allowed to eat the food for breakfast and no one's allowed to make sandwiches and take it with them. So the guest who was a close relative to the one who made the simcha said to me, "We just paid 30,000 or 40,000 shekel for the Shabbos. You think he cares if we all make sandwiches?" I said, "Yeah. I think that if we ask him the price, he'd have a price for those sandwiches." I said, "Watch." I asked one of the waitresses, I said, "If I want to make a sandwich for lunch, how much does it cost me?" So she said, 8 shekel. Blew me away. A loaf of bread costs me 4 shekel. 1 to 2 slices of bread with some cheese in the middle, 8 shekel. So I said to him, "You see, they have a fixed rate." So he got very annoyed at me. He went to the owner of the hotel. He called in the owner of the hotel and he said, "Tell me, sir, if we want to make sandwiches here to take on the bus with us, am I correct that you don't mind and everyone can make sandwiches?" He said, "You're correct." I said, "That's not a chachma. He's not going to tell you no, because he just made business off of you. And he knows that if he's going to argue with you over those sandwiches, you might not come back here next time. But now, the truth is, if you wanted those sandwiches, you had to agree on it in advance. You can't discuss it with him now. He's not going to tell you no, but that doesn't mean he wants to say yes. He feels like he can't say no." So he said to me, "You're wrong." I said, "Okay, you make your sandwiches. I won't make my sandwiches." He left. When he left, the hotel owner said to me, "You're 100% right. You should know I can't tell him no, but it's completely not fair. He's taken more than we agreed for. So I can't come and start making an issue over it." But he said to me, "You should know you're 100% right. He's put me in a position where I can't say no. But that's not what we agreed on initially. If he wanted these sandwiches, he should have said it initially. When we agreed on the cost, it did not include these sandwiches." He said, "In certain business settings, you can't argue with the person. What am I going to do? He just paid me 30,000 shekel for the Shabbos. I'm going to fight with him over there. But I didn't agree." He said to me, "It's completely not within the agreement. And if I had a choice, I would say no. I'm in a position where I don't feel like I could say no." So whether that was thievery or not, I'm not going there. I'm saying we have to have a sensitivity. The Medrash is telling us something that sounds obvious. Don't do mitzvah with a stolen object. It's not so obvious. And when a person cuts in line, when a person, we sometimes allow ourselves to do things, and you stand waiting for a bus, and you could cut, and you can get on the bus, and the guys behind you will have to wait for the next bus.
Isn't that the minhag?
Oh no!
The minhag is to push.
First comes first. Like, you can end up being a good person, but you're going to miss a bunch of buses. Like, you have to make that decision. That's the situation, and I didn't create the situation. I'm just part of the situation.
The bus.
People are laughing, but it's not. I take in-city buses for about 6 years. 4 buses every single day, in-city buses, and it's a very, very serious issue.
I agree that it's a very serious issue. The answer to that is a long one, but...
Because, you know, I have things to do in the day. I can't miss every bus because I want to be a good person.
What was the question?
We'll go back to his question.